Sunday, isn't the easiest day. If you've lost your mother because she died, and it's, you know, it's a painful memory, that's difficult. For some people who'd like to be mothers and can't be, that can be difficult. For others who had a difficult relationship with their mothers, or perhaps still do, I mean, it's a difficult day. So we have to acknowledge that for some, this isn't as easy a day to rejoice as for others. But I think the Bible says we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. So let's accept that. On the other hand, there is a way that we can all rejoice, whatever our situation, which is that without a mother, your mother, you wouldn't have life. You wouldn't have the gift of life that God has given us. And so for that reason, we can certainly celebrate our own mothers, and we can celebrate motherhood in general, because there's so much to learn about God from motherhood. So today we're going to learn a few things from Matthew 15, but we're not going to get there yet, because first of all, it's time for a quiz. I've got a Bible mother quiz for us. I need four teams.
Okay.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you clues to nine mothers in the Bible. Nine different mothers. And you have to come up with the names of those mothers. And the way I'm going to describe the mother is I'm going to speak from the perspective of a child of that mother. So that's the perspective. My mother, this. Are you with me? That's how, and I'm going to give you one thing about myself as a child of the mother that will give you a clue, and one thing specifically about the mother that will give you a clue. So two clues per mother in the Bible, both Old Testament and New. Okay, mother number one. So I'm speaking from the perspective of one of the children of this mother. I was a murderer. That's the clue about the child. And my mother, second clue, could talk to the animals. Yeah. Mother number two. So I'm speaking again from the perspective of one of this mother's children. My name means he laughs, which was what my mother did when she was told she was going to have a child. And my mother's name was changed by God. So my name means he laughs, which was what my mother did when she was told she was going to have a child. And my mother's name was changed by God. So number three, next one. Next mother, speaking from the perspective of a child again, of the mother. Now this is a bit of a different one. I adopted my mother-in-law as my mother. So this is a child mother-in-law connection. I adopted my mother-in-law as my mother, and my mother had two sons. My mother-in-law mother. But my mother had two sons. I adopted my mother as my own. Fourth one. Again, from the perspective of a child. I was one of twins. My mother had twins. I was one of twins. My mother was daughter of Bethuel and sister of Laban. And I'm going to give you extra credit if you can spell the name correctly, because it's often spelled incorrectly. So we'll see about that. But anyway, I am one of twins. My mother was daughter of Bethuel and sister of Laban. All right, number five. Going past halfway now. Number five. From the perspective of one of the children. I was one of at least seven children. I was one of at least seven children. My mother lived longer than I did. I was one of at least seven children. My mother lived longer than I did. Number six. I was a king. My mother liked to bathe beneath the stars. I was a king. My mother liked to bathe beneath the stars. Next one. Again, speaking from the perspective of one of the children. From a very young age, I more or less lived in the temple. This is a child. From a very young age, I more or less lived in the temple. My mother was suspected of being drunk. Number eight. Again, from the perspective of one of the children. I was named by an angel. I was named by an angel. My mother was married to a priest. I was named by an angel, and my mother was married to a priest. What's the name of the mother? I, speaking again from the perspective of the child, I was an apprentice to the Apostle Paul. My mother's name was Lois. So my grandmother, in other words. So I was an apprentice to the Apostle Paul. My mother's name was Lois. What's the name of the mother? Okay, let's see how we do. I'll just go around asking each group their answer to one of the questions, and we'll see. I'm trusting you to answer accurately, so to speak, since we're all Christian people here. Going back to the beginning, I was a murderer. My mother could talk to the animals. What, who did you think this was?
Eve.
Eve is the correct answer. So, one jelly baby for Daniel, because I'm sure it was him that got it.
Yeah.
Okay, right? Excellent. Eve was the correct answer to that first one. Second one, at the back over there, my name means he laughs. My mother's name was changed by God. Yes. Sarah is the correct answer. How are you going to catch it? Somebody catch it. There he goes. Just, it'll be fine. Group at the back on this side. I adopted my mother-in-law as my mother. My mother had two sons. Was Naomi. Correct. Yes, that's right. Tell you what, I'll even bring it all the way back. Okay. All right. Now, next one. I was one of twins. My mother was daughter of Bethuel and a sister of Laban. Who do we think it was over here?
Rebecca.
Rebecca is correct. You have earned yourself a jelly baby. Let me see. It's all yours. What is the correct spelling of Rebecca, by the way? Thank you very much. Oh, Rachel. She's a teacher. She's a teacher. Okay, coming back to this group. I was one of at least seven children. My mother lived longer than me. Who was that?
Well, we know it's wrong, but because this next house, we thought it's Bathsheba.
No, who might it be? Who might it be?
Mary,
the mother of Jesus. Oh, I guess. A jelly baby. There we go. Okay, excellent. Group in the back over there. I was a king. My mother liked to bathe under the stars. Was anybody over there? Bathsheba. That's correct. Excellent. Bathsheba. All right. Over the back on this side. A young age, I more or less lived in the temple. My mother was suspected of being drunk. Who was that? Let's go back there. Yes. Hannah is correct. Yay. Excellent. Dare I throw one? Let's see if it... Excellent. Thank you very much. Where are we? The front here. I was named by an angel. My mother was married to a priest. Who was that?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. You are welcome. You're welcome. Finally, back on this side, I was an apprentice to the Apostle Paul. My mother's name was Lois, that is.
Timothy's
mom. Did you have a name?
Yes.
Eunice is correct. All right. So, I'll give you one. Okay. Eunice is the correct answer. Okay, how many out of nine did this team get?
Nine.
You got all nine? You got all nine?
Nine.
You got nine? Someone has to be human and humble and you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I have some jelly babies left. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give the box to somebody trustworthy. Definitely not Mark Abril. Let me give them to John T. And yeah, I'm gonna kill one. So, John T, feel free to distribute these to children who have not yet had one, and then as you see fit after that.
Thank you.
Right. As Rudy mentioned earlier, this is a wonderful scripture. mother, God's perspective is a bit like a mother's perspective on looking after their children. And the Apostle Paul had a similar thought when he talked about people he loved in the church, that it was like with a kind of a mother's love. Mothering Sunday. It's become a commercial thing. But who knows the origins of Mothering Sunday? Where it all comes from? Before America, God bless America, before America commercialized it, and but before that, do you know where it came from? That's it. So Mothering Sunday comes from the idea of Mother Church. So you go back to your Mother Church. So in the days, Pip's got it right, in the days when travel was difficult, and when you couldn't travel much, and then most people were servants, and they were servants in places where they were more like slaves. But one day a year, you could go back to your parish, to your Mother Church, and see your family, and you were allowed to pick flowers from the hedgerows and give that to your mothers, which is part of where that one comes from. So that's back in, you know, medieval times, I guess. It's right that we honour mothers. I do believe that. Let's have a quick look at one particular... 345 mentions of mothers in the Bible, by the way. So, you know, there's a lot of mothering going on in the scriptures. Here's where we are today. We are in Tyre, in Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus has gone to a Gentile, predominantly Gentile area. Let's have a look at this passage here. In Matthew 15, draw out one key lesson from this example of a mother interacting with Jesus and see what we can learn from it. In Matthew 15, a woman comes to Jesus in this area and she's desperate. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Isn't it an interesting story? So, what's the significance of her being a Canaanite woman? In this story, what's going on there? What's going on with this Canaanite reference, would you say?
Not a Jew.
She's not a Jew. Okay. And Jesus, his mission was limited at that point, right? The apostles were to go elsewhere after the resurrection. But more limited, how is the mother feeling? Desperate. You got your hand up there? Yeah? What do you think? Sad? Very sad. Yeah? Biggie. Her daughter's not safe. She's unsafe. She's an unsafe situation. Desperate, isn't it? Mm. Parents here, and mothers especially, perhaps, you know, I mean, how many of us have been to A&E with our children? Okay, how many? Okay, many times, right? Yeah, Hannah Kaiser, sit.
Honorary member.
Okay, honorary member, you've got a season ticket to A&E. It's tough, isn't it, taking your kids to A&E. When Lydia, our daughter, was a year and a half old, she put her foot into a cup of tea that had been put on the floor. It had just come out of the kettle. And Fred, our son, was just born. He was maybe a month, 2 months old. I was out. Penny was at home with both kids. And no mobile phones in those days, if any of us can remember what life was like. So it took her a while to get hold of me. She found where I was, somewhere about half an hour's drive away. She rang and I found out and I jumped in the car and drove back because she didn't have the car and she couldn't get to A&E. And so I rushed back. It took me about half an hour. I put Lydia in the car. Penny stayed at home with Fred. And we drove off to A&E, which is about another half hour drive. And then And she was screaming the whole time. I mean, she was a year and a half old. She couldn't really process what was going on. She was just in agony with this pain in her foot. So she screamed for the half hour before I got there. She screamed the half an hour of the car journey, non-stop. We walked into A&E with me carrying her, and there was a queue in A&E, as there always is, and they saw me and the crying child, and they said, just come straight through, sir. So, which was great. So they took us straight through, another half an hour of screaming. And not crying, screaming. An hour and a half. And then she just conked out. Like, went unconscious. It wasn't like she was tired. She just flaked out. She didn't wake up for I don't know how long. They treated her. They did a great job. And she was lucky. As a year and a half old, your skin heals really well. And she has no lasting damage. But that was almost 30 years ago. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It's crystal clear in my mind because it's your kids. And this woman is desperate. There is no A&E for this. There's only Jesus. And she's not even a Jew. But she goes to him because he is the only hope in town. The pain that she feels and her child is feeling drives her to Jesus. I think there's a really important lesson for us here. Where does our pain drive us? Where does our pain take us? Does it take us to the potential source of healing? Or does it drive us away from God? Let me share a couple of things. I've never preached a sermon quite like this one before, so bear with me as I tell you a lot about my mother. And I want to tell you about my mother because, to me, she exemplifies what we just looked at here in this passage. Perhaps you did think I was demon-possessed as a child. I think I might have been, actually. But anyway, I want to talk about the pain in her life. So my mother, born I won't tell the exact age, Mum, because I know she watches some of these videos, so I better be careful what I say. Anyway, she was born in the 30s, just before the war, in the Second World War, in the UK. She was born in Portsmouth and grew up there. That's her, maybe just around the time of the end of the war, maybe with her younger brother, my Uncle John. She married my father 61 years ago. Wow. Which is amazing. She was, 22 or so, I think, at the time. And there you go. Sorry, oh dear. I'm giving things away. So they married. And then that's my mother's parents, her mother and father. They come from the generation when people take your photograph, you don't smile. if you look at pictures from about pre-1940, no one smiles at pictures. It's a funny thing, it's a modern thing. Anyway, so that's my granddad and my grandmother, who are long, long since dead, but I remember them well. And they did a great job raising my mother, and they had their challenges. My grandfather was in the customs and excise field, and during the war he was posted 6 months at a time away. So my mum didn't see her dad quite a bit growing up. And my mother's mother had arthritis very badly and had a lot of problems with her spine. She spent 6 months in hospital for several times. And my mother ended up being raised a lot by her grandparents living nearby. During the war, they had to leave Portsmouth because of the bombing and live with relatives outside Portsmouth. There was a lot of disruption in her childhood, to say the least. And as we move on, she married my father, as I said, and then that's my sister, my mother, and my father on one of our wet and windy holidays in Wales. That was my father's idea of heaven, was to walk around Wales in the rain, pointing out geological features, because my father's a geologist and a geographer. So our holidays, when I was very small, that's an escarpment, right, okay, and that's a valley, right, and that was our holidays, which were very educational, Dad, so thank you. My mother at that point was already suffering significantly from severe rheumatoid arthritis. Now, this started when she was 17 years old. She's now well into her 80s, and she's not had a pain-free day in her life, in her adult life. Not one day. And most of those, many, many of those days, very, very significant pain. Not a little bit. I can't remember her holding me, because she couldn't. I know she must have when I was very small, but I don't have any memories of being carried or held. My mother never ran anywhere. I don't remember her running. I don't remember her playing. I don't remember being hugged. And that doesn't mean she didn't love me. It's just she didn't have the capacity. I was born in Luton 58 years ago, and for my sins. And that was where we lived in a flat, which I don't remember because we moved away from when I was very young. But my mother's condition, when I was born, she was in actually the best shape ever, she told me, because there's something about the hormones that are awesome when you got arthritis. It just sort of clears it away. So just initially after the birth, fine, but when it came back with a vengeance. So when I was still a baby, my mother couldn't really move before about lunchtime. So my father left for work. He would get up, help my mother get into a chair in the kitchen. He would then he'd make sure I had a fresh nappy on, and he put me in my mother's lap, and then he would put a bowl of water and cleaning materials and toweling nappies, in those days, no disposable nappies. He put a pile of those kinds of nappies and cleaning materials and a bowl of water on one side. He put bottles of milk up there on the other, whatever was needed, and then left me in my mother's lap as he went off to work. And from what I don't remember it, but from what I'm told, I sat on my mother's lap all morning because she couldn't move. By about lunchtime, she could get up and move around. And that was my early childhood, and that's my mother. I'm astonished. I don't know if I could do that. Could I sit all morning with a baby on my lap, not able to move, and in pain? I don't know how she did it. I don't know how mothers do what they do. There's something astonishing God has given to mothers. And all of that was out. I didn't even know about that story I've told you until maybe 2 years ago. And I'm sure there's a lot more I don't know that my mother did for me, despite her pain. There's so much that's done for us that's so amazing that we're not aware of. Despite all this pain. Love will cause you to do all kinds of things that nothing else will drive you to do. This woman in Matthew 15, she was so desperate. She came to see a man that no one else would see from her culture and background. She came to see a rabbi, which women weren't supposed to come and talk to. She begged. She begged, didn't she? She didn't ask, she begged. And Jesus said, I can't give you anything because the children need the bread. And she said, I don't mind being under the table with the dogs, the household pet. It would have been like the puppy is kind of the word here. I don't mind being on the floor. I don't mind being under the table. I don't mind picking up a few crumbs if that's going to help my daughter. I don't mind. And I think it's that humility that demonstrates her faith. The humility is the outpouring of her faith, her trust in Jesus, that he has the answers. Her pain drives her to him rather than away. My mother is like that still to this day. She's moved on in her life. Oh dear, yeah, that's an embarrassing picture. I had to put that in for my own humility. I had a brief dalliance, an inadvisable dalliance with a moustache that mercifully was short. But the birth of Lydia, it was great to see my mum come up and see us at that time, and visiting us in Manchester when we lived there from time to time, celebrating her 30th wedding anniversary, 40th wedding anniversary, attending my 50th birthday party, and serving in the way that she knows, and singing in the choir, and doing things like that with my father as a priest. And dressing up very nicely occasionally, and getting out and about. 61 years of marriage, 80 odd years of life, trusting God. Now my mother, if you speak to her about God, she'll tell you honestly that she's at times really hated God, really struggled to love God, really to understand why this God, why? And she has genuinely struggled, but she's always come back to God. because God has given her the strength to live with what she has and to still live a life, a very, very full life, raising two children, doing an open university degree, because she left school quite young, but she's very bright, going on to own and run a school as a headmistress, and even these days, still serving, you know, well into her 80s, doing emails from my father in his priestly work, organizing things for the local church community, not mobile, not able to get out and about hardly at all, but still serving because of the strength that God has given her. When I was a young child, my earliest memories of spiritual things with my mum were bedtime. My mum would come and tuck me in, as I'm sure a lot of mums do here. And she'd come and tuck me in, and she'd say prayers with me, and we had we said the Lord's Prayer every night, and we said a family prayer for various members of the family, and then she'd sing a song to me. It reminded me of that thing where it talks about God singing over us. And she'd sing, and I'd sing with her, a little song, "Come Into My Heart." I don't know if you've known it. I mean, this is a long time ago. And he goes, "Come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen." I still remember it. She sang that with me every night till I was 13. As you said, you're 13 now, it's up to you. She instilled some faith in me, despite all of that pain. Many people would run from God, but she ran to Him. So here's my simple point for us today. Where do you go with your pain? Running away from God because of pain is not going to make the pain any easier to deal with. You may have to wrestle with your pain with God, yes. But that's where that shows humility and faith in God, is when we go to Him with our pain. So let's honor all the mothers. Let's honor our own mothers. Let's honor the biblical mothers. But let's take a lesson from this mother in Matthew 15. This Canaanite mother who went to Jesus to beg, even for the crumbs. Jesus granted her what she needed, because of her faith and her humility. Amen. Amen.